reading from St. Luke, chapter 16. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. A reading from 1 John chapter 3. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The author of the book of Hebrews, after reflecting on the many saints of God who lived by faith, who trusted the Lord's promises throughout their earthly lives, even when no fulfillment was visible to them, continues, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." The saints, we read, are witnesses. Not as if they're seated in some great stadium, looking down on us racing around a track. Rather, they are witnesses to the faithfulness of God, people who by their lives give testimony, provide evidence that the Lord delivers those who trust in him. He rescues all who cry to him. No one who trusts in him will be put to shame. This testimony comes to us from the saints of Scripture, Moses and Elijah, Isaiah and Jeremiah, Peter and Paul, John and the Virgin Mary, but also from other believers down through time, pastors, martyrs, and so many others who trusted the Lord as they applied themselves to the various vocations he had given them. This testimony of the saints is worthy of our attention. As Article 21 of the Augsburg Confession explains, it is also taught among us that the saints should be kept in remembrance so that our faith may be strengthened when we see what grace they received and how they were sustained by faith. Moreover, their good works are to be an example for us, each of us in his own calling. In the lives of those who have gone before us in the faith, we are provided with evidence of God's grace and the way he sustains his people. We are also given an example of many who, even as they face difficulties and frustrations, continue to love their neighbor and trust in God. Today, the Church rejoices to remember St. Nicholas of Myra, pastor. There is an enormous amount of legend concerning Nicholas. Verifiable history concerning his life, on the other hand, is rather sparse. About all that can be said with certainty is that during the 4th century there was in Myra, a town on the western end of Turkey's southern coast, a bishop by the name of Nicholas. Legend provides numerous stories about Nicholas that identify him both as a confessor of the faith and as one who generously provided for those in need. Some records suggest that he was present at the Council of Nicaea when the church contended with the heresy of Arius, who denied the full divinity of Jesus. Arius had a little verse he sang that distilled his teaching. There was a time when he was not. That is, there was a time when the Son of God did not exist. Later tradition, which I wish was true, but almost certainly is not, holds that Nicholas was so incensed to hear Arius utter this blasphemous ditty at the council that he slapped him. Behind the legend is the truth that the church respected Nicholas as one who taught God's word faithfully and defended it against those who would deny or twist its teaching. It might seem that slapping a heretic is uncalled for, but consider Jesus' teaching. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. The legend portrays Nicholas as one who knew the danger of misleading humble believers and took a stand for faithful proclamation of God's word. There are many legends that speak of the kindness Nicholas showed to those in need and to children. Perhaps the most famous of these concerns a poor man who had 3 daughters. Because of his poverty, this father was unable to provide a dowry for any of them. This meant they would not be able to get married. As a result, the man feared they would end up as prostitutes or slaves. Unfortunately, not an uncommon circumstance in that era. Hearing about their plight, Nicholas, by then a bishop in the church, surreptitiously tossed 3 small bags of gold coins through an open window in the night. The legends differ as to whether Nicholas did this all in one night, on 3 successive nights, or as each girl reached marriageable age. Regardless, Each of these bags held enough gold for a suitable dowry. As a result, the young ladies were able to marry and thus were rescued from lives of hardship and disgrace. Again, whether or not this specific event occurred as described, the church honored Nicholas for his compassion, generosity, and joyful help to those in need. This evening's readings from Luke 16 and 1 John show us that the characteristics and actions for which the church has remembered Nicholas are indeed God-pleasing. Unlike the rich man of Jesus' parable, Nicholas listened to Moses and the prophets, put his trust in God and his Son, who had risen from the dead, and let his faith show itself in how he treated the least and the needy around him. Like the Good Samaritan, he went out of his way to help those he happened upon, and gladly took from his own goods to provide for them. Nicholas saw the needs of those at his doorstep and in his community, and responded humbly, without seeking recognition for his charity, joyfully helping them. Through the example of Nicholas, then, God calls us to love those around us and do good to them. One of the reasons the Lord has entrusted us with what we have is so that we are able to share with others from our abundance. It's all too easy, too natural, for us sinners that we are, to cling tightly to what we've been given and, like the rich man of whom Jesus spoke, use it always and only for ourselves. This is a violation of the second table of the law, which commands that we love our neighbors as ourselves. Even more seriously, it is a violation of the first and greatest commandment, that we love the Lord our God above all things, including the possessions he's placed in our hands, that we love him with our whole being. Clearly, Nicholas had learned that he didn't need to keep his hands closed tightly around what the Lord had given him. He knew the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for the sake of sinners he became poor, so that they by his poverty might become rich. Thus, in a Christ-like manner, Nicholas could hold loosely the earthly possessions the Lord had entrusted to him and give them away. After all, since God had not spared his own Son, but given him up for sinners, Nicholas knew that the Lord would also, with Christ, graciously give him everything he required. So, having the world's goods, when Nicholas saw his brother in need, he didn't close his heart against him. Rather, because of God's love for him, Nicholas loved his brother, not only in word or talk, but also in deed and in truth. What the psalmist has written concerning the righteous man was true of Nicholas. Because his heart was firm, trusting in the Lord, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. Therefore, through faith which evidenced itself in love, in the presence of the Lord and in the memory of the church, his righteousness endures forever, and his horn is exalted in honor. And so on this day we thank and praise God for Nicholas of Myra, pastor, whom the Lord blessed to be an example for us of faithfulness to his word and of compassion and generosity to those in need. May the Lord bless us by the example of Nicholas to lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely and to run with endurance, faithful to God's word and filled with compassion and generosity, the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.